up, everybody, and welcome to the final episode of our NFL Draft Divisional Previews. And today we are going to be doing the NFC West, which is a very interesting division right now. And with us having just a short time to the draft, we're going to kick it off and get this done really well. I'm going to start with the Cardinals, the number one pick, so why not start with them first? And the guy on that needs the biggest draft for me is Cliff Kingsbury, their head coach, their first-year rookie head coach. I picked Kingsbury because due to the fact that he might waste last season's top 10 pick in Josh Rosen, I think it's going to really affect his coaching regime. I think it's insane to give up on a top 10 selection after only 1 year, even though it wasn't his guy that was chosen. If he decides to go Murray over Rosen and it doesn't pan out, this could potentially set the whole Arizona Cardinals franchise back for years. And vice versa, if they would keep Rosen and pass on Murray, Murray became a stud. It's going to, either way, I don't think he can really go about it without getting criticism right now, just because some people are higher on Murray than they are on Rosen. Some people like Rosen more than Murray. And it's going to be a wait and see thing, but for the sake of the franchise, hopefully whatever they do pans out. I'm going to jump right into the ideal target. I don't think they should go quarterback. I think they should stay with Rosen. I'm going Nick Bosa, defensive end at Ohio State. The right choice at one is Bosa. Bosa is a phenomenal talent and will be a key piece in turning the horrendous defense around. Outside of a little injury history, there's no downside in Bosa's game. He can get to the quarterback. Even if he's not sacking the quarterback, he can apply pressure. He can, you know, get a hold of the ball carrier, chase him down, you know, or get to wide receivers on bubble screens. He's a guy you want to build your defense around. They need wide receiver help, so I'm going for a sleeper Texas Tech wide receiver, Anton Wesley. Finding the next man up after Fitz retires should be a focus for the Cardinals at some point during this draft, just because this might be Larry Fitzgerald's final year after his phenomenal career. Big fan of Fitz, but nobody can play forever. And Wesley's a good fit. I mean, he's 6'4", and he uses his great length and has an incredible catch radius. He's dangerous after the catch and does well to use his overall size. He might not, you know, be a burner. He doesn't get consistent separation against defensive backs, and he isn't the best route runner, though I do see him getting a lot better after some time. There are some minor concerns for him being a one-year wonder. He popped off in a huge way, had like over 1,400 yards for Texas Tech this year. And due to that and the speed, some of the slight speed concerns, he's a 5th to 6th round guy, which if you can turn into if you can get anything out of your 5th, 6th, 7th round guys, that's good for you. But I think they can get a little bit more than just a little something out of Wesley. I think, you know, Fitz to teach him how to go and do his job the right way. Because let's admit it, Fitz had to adjust his game a little bit because he's still not the fast, you know, he's not the fastest receiver in the league now. But he can teach him how to use, you know, whatever natural abilities you have. Fitz and the coaching staff can teach him to thrive in those aspects of the game. And at 6'4", you have the size there. So you can get, you know, he'll, you know, be a target for Josh Rosen or Murray in the end zone. I mean, you can't miss a guy that's 6'4". Long arms, I mean, he's set up to score touchdowns at the very least. My top three needs for them are defensive end, offensive line, and wide receiver. Getting the defensive end, you know, you need to apply pressure to quarterback, which they weren't too well at it. They did sign Terrell Suggs, a longtime Baltimore Raven defensive stud, but he is older. He only has a short time there. Offensive line, they need to open up more holes for David Johnson. They need to protect their quarterback. Now, they have done some stuff. They traded for, if I believe it was Marcus Gilbert from the Pittsburgh Steelers. They did some minor signings, but they need to get a. They need to use like maybe their second round pick on a guy that could really be like someone you build around in the trenches. And someone you have a lot of faith in that can be reliable for you for numerous years. My next team is going to be Seattle. And my biggest, my thing that I like, the thing, the person I think needs the biggest draft is the fans. The team itself surprised in many ways last season, and they must continue on taking the next step. Last season was expected to be somewhat of a rebuild year, but due to some really big surprises on both sides of the ball, they were able to go in there and make the playoffs, be competitive, and beat my Lions. The defense was much better than expected, but Seattle ended up trading up-and-comer Frank Clark to Kansas City. They did get an extra first-round pick this year, a second-round pick next year, and they swapped thirds. So two picks in the first round can go to help finding a replacement. Chris Carson, their running back, came out of nowhere and led the team in rushing, a team that averaged 160 rush yards a game, which was first in the league. Rebuilding the defense and grabbing another receiver for Russell Wilson, the newly extended Russell Wilson, is on the to-do list. My ideal target, I'm going to go with the guy who was getting hyped up early in the draft process, but slowed down a little bit. DK Metcalf, the wide receiver from Ole Miss. Doug Baldwin hasn't been healthy in 2 years, and outside of Tyler Lockett, Russell Wilson has like no one to throw to. The rest of his options aren't ideal for a team trying to contend. They're a bunch of fourth options. Maybe, you know, they can slightly fill in for a third option occasionally. Insert 6'3", 228-pound freak DK Metcalf. He's as fast as he is strong, and that's saying something. A guy built like him, which is basically resembles a small army tank, shouldn't be able to run a 4.3340, which he did at the combine. Metcalf will give Russell Wilson a wide receiver that can do everything well. There's really no downside on him outside of medical history. He's had trouble staying healthy, but the coaches, the health, you know, the trainers and stuff, the health nuts are bigger. You know, they're better in the pros than they are in college, and that's not taking nothing away from college. College trainers or nothing. It's just these guys in the pros are top guys. Hopefully they can, you know, make sure DK Metcalf has a long, storied career, a healthy career, and make something, and, you know, just get it where he can stay on the field. For my sleeper, I'm going to go on John Kaminsky, the defensive end from Charleston. I mentioned on, I think, maybe the South Pod about him. I'm a big fan of his. Kaminsky was the first player ever from his school to get a combine invite, and he could be the very first player in his school's history to ever get drafted. He's stout versus the run, a very good tackler that can get to the running back behind the line. 140 tackles, 40 tackles for loss the past two seasons. That's phenomenal. That's a guy I want on my defensive line. Even though he might not produce like that in the pros because he did play at a smaller school, the hope that he can even blossom into half that would be really good. Should produce at least modest sack numbers, but probably won't be a dominant pass rusher. Maybe he's even a guy that gets taken off the field on third and longs, you know, obvious passing situations. Around 5th to 6th grade on him, which could definitely pan off. And he can pan out, and he could be a good steal for them. And he, you know, I'm not saying he's going to come in and replace Frank Clark, because Frank Clark, man, was just dominant, and he's going to get nothing but dominant from here on out. He's still, like, young. He's going to grow in Kansas City and be a bad dude, but you got to find a replacement somewhere. And my top three needs from a defensive end, now they got to replace Frank Clark. Wide receiver, just because outside of Tyler Lockett and a healthy Doug Baldwin, when he is healthy, which hasn't been a lot, there's, like I said, there's fourth options, fifth options, guys that aren't going to make a splash. I mean, they need more than that. I mean, especially if this run game doesn't produce as well as it did last season, which you can expect them to take a step back. Chris Carson is a good running back, but I don't think he's the future there. They do have Rashad Penny, who was the a surprise first-round pick last draft. They're not going to give up on him. And I wouldn't be surprised if they end up going after a running back somewhere in this draft just to give him extra insurance. And then I got, for number three, I have slot corner Justin Coleman. He came to my Lions, and he was arguably one of the best slot corners, if not the best slot corner in football last year. The production is going to be in to replace. He's a turnover machine, which is one reason why Seattle won as many games as they did, why they were competitive, why they stayed in games late, and why they were having big defensive moments. He was the key part of that, outside of him and Frank Clark. I could see them addressing maybe backup quarterback in this draft. I could see him finding another offensive line piece in this draft, but these are my top three needs for him. We're going to go to the NFC champs, the Rams. My biggest thing is, my biggest part of the team that needs the biggest draft haul is the fans. I mean, not much went wrong for the Rams last season as they improved basically every game. They were undefeated for a bit. Then they were basically shut out in the Super Bowl by the Patriots. With some studs on the brink of free agency, their current roster must win a Super Bowl. They have the pieces to do that now. There's so much talent on this squad, it's ridiculous. Only a few real needs need to be addressed in this draft. And I'm going to start with the ideal target and Jeffrey Simmons, the defensive tackle at Mississippi State. He could potentially be a top 10 pick if it wasn't for him tearing his ACL back in February. It could potentially keep him off the field for all of 2019, but there is a chance he could make some type of impact in late November, early December. But that's no guarantee. I mean, there's a very good chance that we just have to scrape his rookie season out and go get you a fifth-year option on him, so you basically still got 4 years of him on the field. If he goes in round one, I still believe it'll be to a team that can afford to wait on him. You know, they'll, like I said, sit on it for a year. And the Rams are a perfect fit and for him, and he's also a perfect fit for the Rams. Just for some reason is, the Rams have Aaron Donald as their main defensive tackle and the quarterback tackler or go-getter. So, of course, they can wait on Simmons to make a full recovery. In return, Simmons would dominate next to a guy like Aaron Donald, where he won't have to worry about getting double-teamed. He wouldn't have to worry about, honestly, he wouldn't have to worry about too many people focus on him because everybody focuses on Aaron Donald, which would basically just let him go do the one-on-one thing, which he's good at. Swim moves, power moves, get in there, take the quarterback down, and potentially, you know, pairing these two together would cause havoc for everyone for quite a long time. Sleeper, I'm going to go get him some corner help. I'm going to go Jordan Brown, the cornerback out of North Dakota State. Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters will need to be extended shortly. You know, Talib somewhat slowed down. There was injuries as well. Grabbing a late-round gem to potentially step in is a good idea. Brown has great size for a corner at 6'1". He looked good at the Senior Bowl. He has good route awareness, poise, and timing. He could probably be a turnover machine. I mean, even if he's only getting limited reps. He uses his long arms to break up passes. He definitely needs to improve on his tackling. He doesn't read the run too well, but these things can be taught. You know, you get taught basically from day one how to tackle. Some people just take longer. And what's the best way of learning how to do something than getting taught by, you know, NFL head coaches, NFL, you know, coordinators and all that. And I have around 6 to 7 grade on him just because he was at a smaller school. But I think the guy can ball. I think the guy's going to be someone that if the Rams or any team that drafts him, they're going to end up liking this guy. This guy should make a roster. Maybe worst case scenario, he goes on the practice squad at first. And then once he gets some seasoning, he just comes up and just does damage. Their top three needs are defensive tackle, a replacement for Ndamukong Suh. Someone you know, pair up with Donald, cause trouble. Offensive guard, I think guards are, you know, their line did do well. I think offensive guard is their biggest weakness right now. They did lose a key guard in free agency, so a replacement is needed. And then corner, I've already stated the reasons why before. Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, they're both going to be future free agents. Aqib Talib is older. They both were injured at the same time for a little bit last season. So they do need someone that can come up there, step in, and fill a void if need be. The 49ers are the final team, and this has been fun. This is the 8th episode, and I've enjoyed doing this. Jerry's enjoyed doing this, and honestly, I'm already looking forward to doing this next year. I'm looking forward to doing the season previews, which we'll get into more towards probably August, maybe July. But for the 49ers, I'm going to go with the fans, and I don't want to be repetitive. You know, I know it's easy saying the fans, the team, but I'm going the fans for some reason is the fans didn't get the chance to see the team fully healthy. Jimmy Garoppolo played 2.5 games while their big offensive signee from last season, Jerick McKinnon didn't play a meaningful snap. He tore his knee up, missed all of the season. Even with both of these players missing most of the season, there were some huge bright spots on both sides of the ball. You know, Kittle broke out in a huge way and was a top three tight end. Round two pick Dante Pettis showed some big things for the future, and the O-line looked a lot better. Few holes to fill, but health will be key. My ideal target for them at number two is Quinnen Williams, the defense tech out of Alabama. He's arguably the best player in this draft. You can argue Nick Bosa, maybe argue Josh Allen, but outside of that, there's nobody. Williams will cause absolute havoc with DeForest Buckner, Lee lined up next to him. Solomon Thomas, who was their third-round pick, I believe, in 2017. He's good against a run, but he wasn't what they thought he'd be. He doesn't really apply any pressure to the quarterback. So having Solomon Thomas as a guy that could be the guy that goes in there and is able to apply the pressure with Buckner will be good. And then he's a phenomenal tackler who seems to get off blocks with ease. He can work on stripping the ball. He forced zero fumbles. But that's, if you can do everything else well, it's not really a big knock. He does what he needs to do. He does it, you know, basically perfectly. He's a guy that can be an anchor in the interior line of your defense. Sleeper, I haven't given some wide receiver hope. I'm going Miles Boykin, the wide receiver from Notre Dame. Boykin would give San Francisco a big wide receiver who uses his size to win 50-50 balls. He has great leaping ability, almost a 40-inch vertical, which is awesome. Strong hands. He shouldn't have to worry about too many drops. He will need to work on his route running. It's limited. You know, he's limited after the catch as well. And I think his biggest knock overall is he won't win with his speed. There's a little bit of trouble separating, but the size does come into play where you know, he can go in and win. But who knows how that's going to translate in the NFL. Just because you can do it in college doesn't mean you can necessarily do it in the pros. But I do think he has the makeup of being a good receiver. And like as with a lot of these guys, the things that need to be learned, like continue to grow on, you can do them on a roster, on a team, you know, learning by playing, doing on the field, at practice, learning from these NFL head coaches, these NFL coordinators. They're the best in the business. My top three needs for San Fran are defensive tackle, someone to pair with, you know, that you can put in the trenches. So not only do they have to worry about DeForest Buckner on the outside, you have to respect their middle too, their interior defensive line. Wide receiver is number two. They need, you know, Marquise Godwin. He's going to be a deep threat. Dante Pettis should be good, especially if he continues to build off of his rookie season. I mean, he's shown flashes, made some good catches, and I don't see nothing but good things coming from him. But they do need that main wide receiver one. I do think Boykin can be that wide receiver one after some seasoning, after some grooming. And then I have safety. They do need someone in the back to solidify the secondary, which hasn't been bad by any means. I mean, they had some injuries. Jimmy Ward, you know, can't seem to stay healthy. So they will need to find somebody that can go in there and, you know, shore up things, or at worst case scenario, go in there and start when need be. So guys, this wraps up our 8-part preview. And as I mentioned before in other pods, me and Jerry has both mentioned this. This has been very fun. We can't wait to do more of these. And enjoy the draft. We'll be back with another one more draft pod episode, and it will be the draft recap. Jerry will be back. So have fun. Enjoy the draft. Follow the Fantasy Football Fraternity page. We're going to be doing draft grades live, posting picks as soon as they're announced, giving our quick thoughts. Like our Facebook page, Great Lakes Football Talk. Like, subscribe on our podcast. We appreciate everything. And just have fun, guys. I mean, it's draft day. The draft is here. It's going to be good. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. And, hey, I'm hoping Kyler Murray don't go number one, so this draft can just be it'll be nuts. So Thank you, guys.